الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. Sometimes life seems very theatrical, right? And so theatrical that some people who are really into it, right, then they call them like a drama queen, right, because of the way they comport themselves. And it was something which is sort of noticeable to all and sundry. I mean, you even like read Shakespeare, right? All of life is a play, and men merely actors, or something to that effect. So there is this understanding, right, that life is a big show, right? Life is a big show. And there's a lot of actors, right, in each one of you. I mean, each one of us who are sitting here, each one of us who are listening, and each one of us who will listen, if Allah so wills, they're all actors in this play. And a lot of times as we sort of live out this show, people feel like they're going to be writing their own script. Right? They feel like they're writing their own script. So every day when we get up, they sort of envision what the script is going to be, and they try to act it out for the rest of the day. And that's life, right? And you're just turning the page day after day, and it's just sort of plan and try to act that out. Now, one of the interesting things is that human beings, when they write out the script, just like when a Hollywood writer or a movie writer or even a songwriter gets to work and has a blank piece of paper in front of them, when they start writing, what is the first thing they think about, right? The first thing they think about is, well, not the first thing necessarily, but one of the things that is really up there on their list of variables to take into account is, how will this be received by the audience, right? Which audience am I writing to? How will this be perceived? Will this be, you know, will this make the top 10? So there's this sort of weighing pressure in the back of the mind of the writer, that how will this be received? And for most people in life, when they write their daily script or even their life script, they sort of look under that same pressure, right? They think about the audience, right? How will my script look to the audience? So everything from the way they dress, right, to the way they comb their hair, even the words they say, they're worried about how will this be perceived, right? Am I going to hit it off? Am I going to make the top 10? Now, sadly, that's a very poor way. It might work in the music industry or the Hollywood industry, right, or the movie industry, but it's a really sad way to live your life, right? Because the funny thing is, yes, all of us are actors, but the one person that you should, because this is real life, the person who you should be most concerned about is you, right? If all the world perceived you as the most wonderful thing on the face of the earth, that wouldn't make you the most wonderful thing on the face of the earth. And if all the world were to perceive you as the most disgusting or the most abhorrent of creatures on the face of the earth, that wouldn't change reality, right? Because perception is just that. It's just perception. It doesn't change reality. And, you know, the funny thing is that when people put so much emphasis and so much thought into what other people will sort of perceive them as, and what other people will say, and what other people will think, they forget to really take into account what's important to them, right? And you lose a bit of yourself. Actually, for a lot of people, you lose all of yourself. So much so that you don't, if someone were to really ask you, who are you? You don't know, because you've always defined yourself in terms of other people, but who are you yourself? Right? People don't have a strong identity. And if you don't have a strong identity, it's very hard to stand up and be yourself, because you don't know who yourself is. Now, that might sound like some motivational talk that you'd hear at some like corporate meeting, but it has Islamic implications. Right? It has very, very deep Islamic implications, actually. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, right? They strive in the path of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They do not fear the blame of the blamer. Right? They don't fear going to a party and they said, well, didn't you wear that last week? Right? They just don't care. They don't fear the blame of the blamer. Or they said, oh, can't you afford a better car? They don't fear the blame of the blamer. Right? They just live life the way that life should be lived. The other aspect of this is when you write a script, worrying about others, inevitably you will maximize their benefit, but you end up compromising, if not minimizing, your own. Right? If you have to write a script, maximize your own benefit. Right? You have to do things which benefit you. And as you look at the Islamic concept, it's so amazing. So wearing beautiful clothes or nice clothes, say someone might ask you, is it halal for me to wear Armani? Right? Yes, it's permissible for you to wear Armani. But if you're wearing Armani so that when you go out, that people say, whoa, right? And you make sure that the Armani is showing, right? Those people who wear clothing of fame in this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a show. They try to make a show on this earth, Allah will make a show of them in the Akhirah. But if you do it for your own self, because you like it, then it becomes permissible. If you want to have a nice house in a nice neighborhood, it's permissible. You can buy a nice house, and you can even do it with the intention that my wife likes it, or my children like this, and then I want to keep them happy. But as soon as the intention, right, as soon as the intention becomes, when these people come over to my house, then they'll say, wow, this is a really nice house. If that enters into the equation, then you've just messed it up. So what is the deeper principle that's being conveyed here? Is that you got to stand out on your own feet, my friend, right? You have to have some type of inner strength. Do not be on the outside of the looking glass looking in, right? Just be the looking glass, right? Be the looking glass. That's one aspect. The other aspect that many people don't realize is they actually think that they're writing the script. In a certain way, they are. But one of the things that they fail to realize is that the script has already been written, right? فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظ, right, in a tablet preserved. Everything that will ever happen till the end of time is already known. It's already known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you were to bend over backwards, you can't change destiny. Any person who fights against their destiny, the only thing that leads to is frustration. That doesn't mean you don't work, and it doesn't mean that you become a fatalist. What it does mean is that there has to be some type of recognition that the true doer behind everything is Allah. The true writer is Allah. Now, how does that come into play? I'll give you a very practical example. A lot of people, for example, have trouble lowering their gaze, right? And they say that, well, if I don't look, then how will I find the girl of my dreams, right? Or if I don't look, then how will I find Mr. Right? So what does Shaitan get them to do? He makes them think that you got to write the script, my friend, right? Or else you won't be able to act out that very famous scene that you've been trying to play out in your mind for years. Well, the fact of the matter is that risk script has already been written. That girl who is destined for you, right? It's not, people often talk about the man of my dreams or the girl of my dreams. It's actually all wrong. It's not the girl of your dreams, it's the girl of your destiny, right? Or the man of your destiny. That's who you're going to get. So if that's already set, then it makes no point. That point is set on this side. And so that's point B and you're at point A and you're trying to get from A to B. The only decision you have to make is what route am I going to get to B? Right? Because B is going to happen. There's no way that's not going to happen. It will happen. You just have to decide if you're going to take the shortest route. Right? Are you going to take a circumlutus route? Or are you going to take, a circuitous route or a tortuous route? No. Right? That's the only decision you really make. Are you going to obey Allah to get to point B? Or are you going to disobey Allah? Same thing with the job. They say, I'll just disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this one time. And, once I get my job, then I'll make things right. That job, if you're going to have it, you will have it. Right? There is no excuse in life to disobey Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create the play that way, right? It would have been unfair of him, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create the play that way, right? That's not the game. The game is just the decisions you make, and then you just walk into your destiny that was already sitting there. That's the second aspect. The third aspect of this is if you really understand principle one, then this will liberate your life in so many ways and solve so many of the struggles that you go through in life. Right? You take the daughter-in-law with the mother-in-law, right? The whole day, I actually probably should specify first. So principle number three is, when you're writing your script, stop worrying about an invisible audience, right? So those who've taken Psych 101, right, they'll remember, like, you know, teenagers have this whole thing that there's an invisible audience, then, like, they have this one pimple which is tucked away under their cheek, they're walking down the halls, and they think the whole school is looking at them, right? Well, actually, they're probably worried about their own one pimple which is tucked away somewhere behind their ears, right? So everyone lives in this sort of fool's paradise, you know, worrying about what everyone else is thinking. So principle number three is stop worrying about what the other actors are going to think, and start worrying about the playwright. Right. So there's from all the variables in this equation, the two variables which are most important are you, right, and Allah. I should say rather Allah and then you. So when you make your decision, right, to write whatever you write, or, you know, do whatever you do, then instead of thinking how will this be perceived by so and so, just think that how will this be perceived by Allah. Like, literally, you're writing a book, right? And that book will be opened and you'll read it. And would you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to read that book out loud? Right? It will be read, right? فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَصِيرًا. I mean, there's hisab, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from hisab. And we just, you know, beseech him and beg him that he doesn't take us to task. But the idea is that if we've written our book, then Allah will read it. None of these people might ever read your book, right? They don't even know why you did half the things that you did, and nor would they really care. But Allah really does, right? So two things really do impact you, Allah and you yourself. So when you make a decision, right, to write the refrain, then just think, instead of thinking what will they want, just think what does Allah want, right? Very small difference in one way, but it will radically change your life. It will set your affairs straight. You know, if a person is struggling whether I should wear hijab or not, right? Some of the biggest struggles that a woman might go through is to wear hijab. It's not easy. It's not easy to be different, right? Or to wear niqab, or to wear jilbab, or wherever you're at, it's not an easy thing. And why is it not easy? Because you're always worrying about the other actors. But as soon as you start thinking that, you know, they're not going to answer for me on the day of Qiyamah, right? They could actually care less. But Allah cares, and I need to take care of myself. Then it becomes very clear what you need to do in life, right? Someone thinks about growing out their beard, and then they start worrying, oh, I'll be perceived like this, and who will marry me, and this will happen. And, you know, the million and one thoughts come. I'm just giving, like, random examples, but whatever the case may be, when you're making your decisions, just think about, does this decision make Allah happy? If it makes Him happy, then just do it. Right? And don't look left or right. Right? Things work out. Right? Life will work out. You know, like, you think about, so many people complain that, you know, that my mother-in-law is like this, or my in-laws are like that. And they say, like, how do I deal with them? The way you deal with them is you just worry about how are you going to write that day according to what Allah wants, right? If He wants you to be in service, then you be in service, right? If He doesn't want you to be in service and wants you to do something else, you go and do that, and you don't care what they say. Those things will take care of themselves, right? Those things will take care of themselves. And you can apply this to your friends, you can apply this to your parents, you can apply this to... And so a person might now think, oh, you know, now I'm really going to stand in my parents' face and give it to them. Right? But that's not, if you really know Allah, right, that's not what necessarily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. Right? And when you start thinking that way, whatever you're gonna do, right, your whole book that you're gonna write is gonna be a book of ibadah. Even if you're going to school every day, but if you do it because Allah wants you, you're going to school anyway, but if you're doing it because Allah wants it, every single page in your book, inshallah, right, will be ibadah. Right? Every time a woman will stand to cook will be ibadah. Every time she feeds her children will be ibadah. Every time you walk to the masjid will really be ibadah, right? Every time you study, every time, I mean, whatever you do, you will really be subsumed under this concept of ibadah. So that will like really set you free, right? And you will feel so liberated. Now, a lot of people, what they're going to do, you're walking away and you're going to think that, okay, that all sounds nice, but I can't do it. It's just too hard. And that's true, because if you've always been living your life for others, it's very hard to start living for yourself. And a person will think that, how can I become strong enough to do that? Like, where do I draw my strength from? Right? It's really an important question. Like, where do you get the strength? Like, there's so many things that happen around you, and you even know that it's wrong, even with your friends, and you want to say something, but you can't say it. Right? And then you feel like so bad later on, like, I should have said something, right? Or you want to do something, and you know that that's the right thing to do. Right? But you just can't muster enough strength to do it. Or you know you shouldn't be doing something, but you fall under pressure of your friends, and you end up doing it, and you just feel terrible about it. So the question is, a person, if you were to ask someone, they might say, well, you got to start believing in yourself. Right? That's a surefire way to failure. If you're not strong, you need to draw your strength from somewhere else. Right? And we don't look within. We look to the heavens, right? Metaphorically speaking, we look to Allah. If you connect yourself to Allah, right? If you connect yourself to Allah, then really you could stand in front of the face of the world. The whole world will be against you, and you will have the bravery, inshallah, to stand to them and face them. Because you're connected to infinite power. I mean, look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You just look at, I mean, the picture is like vivid in my eyes. The war is going on, and literally because of a serendipitous attack, all the Sahaba temporarily were dispersed, right? And so in the mayhem, in the midst of the chaos, in underarmed, right? You have one man, right? And there's like this whole storm sort of going about him. And then the army is in front of him, and he's one person. He doesn't look left, he doesn't look right, he advances face straight in the face of the army. أَنَا النَّبِيٌ لَا كَذِبْ أَنَا إِبْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُتَّلِبِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ He said, I am a prophet, there's no doubt about it, right? I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. That type of strength, like you could, 1400 years later, you feel that strength like coming down, right? It's the strength of an army in a single man. He was connected. Umar radiallahu anh, he's sitting down and then to eat, and then one of the other people tell him that, don't do it like this, because the Romans or Persians, they would deem it something lowly. And he said, أَتُرُكُ سُنَّةِ حَبِيبِ لِهَاُولَاءِ الْهُمَقَاءِ Am I going to leave the sunnah of my beloved for these stupid individuals? He didn't care. They would walk into the courts of the kings with their the plush carpet on the ground, literally ripping the carpet, right? And they were ready to call to the way of Allah. That strength wasn't coming from inside, it was coming from somewhere else. So if you want to have the strength to be who you want to be, right? To live a productive life, to live a life that will really benefit you and your relationship with Allah, you have to connect to Him, right? And that's a lot of what Suluk is about. I mean, I remember when I was beginning out, I would be so, like, I'm generally a mild person, that's like my temperament. I had such a difficult time ever telling no to anyone, right? I just couldn't say no. And even correcting someone, like, I hated backbiting. When someone backbited in front of me, I'd just feel really shy to be telling them, hey guys, you need to start backbiting, But, as you progress, then, and I always used to feel like, oh, when is this going to happen? But as you progress, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq, these struggles become so much easier, right? And part of that is because you're connected somewhere else, and then you just really, you just stop caring, because you're connected to something which is bigger, more meaningful than all of life. So that was one thing. There's one more point which is somewhat related, right? Sort of obliquely, but I thought I would mention it here. Because we're talking about her interactions with other people, right? So if you take this approach to life, it doesn't mean that you take a harsh approach to life, Right? It doesn't mean that you take a harsh approach to others, in fact. Because that's not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Because sometimes people sort of go to the other extreme. The nafs is always going to extremes. Either it's too timid or it's over brave, right? You're ready to give people a mouthful on their face. That's not compliant with the sunnah either. The idea is to find the middle ground where you can keep silent, but you not be affected inside and still keep on going on, right? When someone says something to you that really hurts you and really bothers you. So in terms of dealing with people, if you look in your life, right, there may be an actor, there may be one character in your life, or two characters that you just have a lot of trouble with. For some people it's their children, for some people it's their parents, for some people it's their brother, for some people it's their friends, for some people it's their secret love. For some people it's, you know, it's their wife, some people it's their husband, some people it's their in-laws. So a person might think that, okay, fine, I'm writing this play, but then I don't know what to write. Like, how do I deal with these situations? So actually the answer came to me, came down on my way here. So this is like, you know, blistery cold weather here in St. Louis. So we got in the car and we were about to drive to Mehfil, and my windshield was completely kicked over with ice, right? And so we're sort of like, oh, we're going to get late and want to get here on time. So you had to heat up the car anyway. So you put the heat on, no high, on the top, on the defrost, and you sort of let it, you know, sort of melt the ice. I didn't want to, like, get the de-icer and whatnot and didn't have the scraper either. So I said that, okay, we just got to sort of wait, right? You got to sort of wait. So you're waiting. And you have this sort of crystalline structure, right, which literally sheets your windshield. You can't see out, right? But slowly the bottom starts melting a little bit, right? And then the what's above that starts melting a little bit. And then you start seeing spaces between the different ice droplets, and they sort of start coming down, right? And then eventually that sheet melts, right? And I said, well, that's exactly how you would deal with those individuals who are very frigid in your life, right? Cold like ice, right? Cold like ice. How do you do it? You put it on, you put all the heat all the way on, right? And you let it melt, right? Let it melt. And it happens so slowly. Actually, if I was just to leave it on the heat, it would probably have taken me 20 minutes or so, right? To let all of it melt. But what happens is then you put on the windshield wiper and then it takes everything out, right? In one fell swoop. Right? Not in this particular example, but it can. So that's what happens sometimes in life. That when you have that person or that, you know, that one person, one character in your life, you're just having difficulty dealing with, right? And you just don't know how to deal with them, show them love, right? Show them the warmth of compassion, the warmth of rahmah, the warmth of love. And even though you might not notice it melting because it's happening so slowly, right? Then what happens is one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, He'll send the wiper and wipe the thing clean. Right? But you just gotta keep on sort of working at it. It doesn't take a day, it doesn't take 2 days, it might take weeks or it may take months, but that's something that you can do to, you know, this is actually, it occurs to me, فَإِذَا الَّذِي إِدْفَعْ بِالَّذِيهِ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. The word in the Quran is also, you know, very similar. That, you know, deflect evil, those people who do evil to you, with good. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. If there's some type of enmity between you and them, right? You're just not getting along, right? You're not getting along. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ. It will become as if he is your wali, right? Your close friend, hamim, right? And hamim means like warm, right? So no, when you talk about friendship, there one thing is called one friendship and one thing is called warm friendship, right? That, you know, you just mention the person's name and, you know, it's just a very deep relationship. And sometimes your worst enemies can become your best friend. So part of the way, I guess it's a good way to actually end off, because that's actually one way that you can actually write a happy story, right, and have a happy ending. And you can say they lived happily ever after. So it's something practical to take home. So just to recap some of the main messages from today. Number one, write, if you had to think about who to write your story for, write it for Allah, right? Think about what He wants and how He would want it written. Number two, focus on your own self rather than on an invisible audience. Number three, realize that the true writer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. And number four, that if you have characters or if you have players in your life that just don't really fit the show, they're not fitting in the scheme, right? Then pump them with a little bit of heat, right? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to write stories that if one presented to Him on the day of Qiyamah, that it will be a source of joy to not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, but to our own selves. And may He save us from disgrace on that day. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.